Hi, welcome back to the Children of Our Lady podcast, brought to you by the Catholic Family Podcast. My name is Thomas, and I'd like to welcome everyone to a new episode of the show. Well, I thank you all for being here today, and I especially thank all those who come back to new episodes of the show each week. It's been quite the journey thus far here on the Children of Our Lady podcast, and I'm especially grateful for all those who tune in and listen to new episodes of the show each time we post them. And here on today's episode of the Children of Our Lady podcast, we conclude Chapter 6 with Section 3, where St. Alphonsus talks about Our Lady being the peacemaker between sinners and God. Another good section from this chapter, and Chapter 6 has really turned out to be a very encouraging one, not to say the others haven't, of course, but St. Alphonsus has done a wonderful job showing us why we call Our Lady Gracious Advocate. Real quick, before we get into today's reading, I did want to wish everybody a belated but blessed feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Of course, a special congratulations to those seminarians who took next steps, those who received minor orders or major orders. It's definitely important for us to keep them in our prayers and to pray for more vocations in general, not only to the religious life, but to the marriage state as well. It's so important for us today to have good Catholic families as well. But a special congratulations to those seminarians who took next steps on Tuesday. And I'm sure everyone listening to this podcast already has, but if you haven't, I definitely recommend that you check out Lisa Davis's Feast Day Quick Take on Our Lady of Guadalupe. Just such a beautiful video, a fantastic job by Lisa, a very informative and encouraging episode. So if you haven't had the chance to check it out, I highly encourage you go over there after this episode here today. But now I think we'll go ahead and get into our reading of Section 3 of Chapter 6, come back for a few more words, our quote, and our prayer to Our Lady. Section 3. Mary is the peacemaker between sinners and God. The grace of God is the greatest and the most desirable of treasures for every soul. It is called by the Holy Ghost an infinite treasure, for by the means of divine grace we are raised to the honor of being the friends of God. These are the words of the Book of Wisdom. For she is an infinite treasure to men, which they that use become the friends of God. And hence Jesus, our Redeemer and God, did not hesitate to call those his friends who were in grace. You are my friends. Oh, accursed sin that dissolves this friendship. But your iniquities, says the prophet Isaiah, have divided between you and your God. And putting hatred between the soul and God, it is changed from a friend into an enemy of its Lord, as expressed in the Book of Wisdom. But to God, the wicked and his wickedness are hateful alike. What then must a sinner do who has the misfortune to be the enemy of God? He must find a mediator who will obtain pardon for him, and who will enable him to recover the lost friendship of God. Be comforted, O unfortunate soul, who hast lost thy God, says St. Bernard. Thy Lord himself has provided thee with a mediator, and this is his Son, Jesus, who can obtain for thee all that thou desirest. He has given thee Jesus for a mediator, and what is there that such a son cannot obtain from the Father? But, O God, exclaims the saint, and why should this merciful Savior, who gave his life to save us, be ever thought severe? Why should men believe him, terrible, who is all love? O distrustful sinners, what do you fear? If your fear arises from having offended God, know that Jesus has fastened all your sins on the cross with his own lacerated hands, and having satisfied divine justice for them by his death, he has already effaced them from your souls. Here are the words of the saint. They imagine him rigorous, who is all compassion, terrible, who is all love. What do you fear, O ye of little faith? With his own hands he has fastened your sins to the cross. But if by chance, adds the saint, thou fearest to have recourse to Jesus Christ, because the majesty of God in him overawes thee, for though he became man, he did not cease to be God, and thou desirest another advocate with this divine mediator, go to Mary, for she will intercede for thee with the Son, who will most certainly hear her, and then he will intercede with the Father, who can deny nothing to such a Son. Thence St. Bernard concludes, this divine mother, O my children, is the ladder of sinners, by which they reascend to the height of divine grace. She is my greatest confidence. She is the whole ground of my hope. The Holy Ghost in the Sacred Canticles makes the Most Blessed Virgin use the following words. I am a wall, and my breasts are as a tower, since I am become in his presence as one finding peace. That is, I am the defender of those who have recourse to me, and my mercy towards them is like a tower of refuge, and therefore have I been appointed by my Lord, the peacemaker between sinners and God. Mary, says Cardinal Hugo on the above text, is the great peacemaker, who finds and obtains the reconciliation of enemies with God, salvation for those who are lost, pardon for sinners, and mercy for those who are in despair. And therefore was she called by the divine bridegroom, beautiful as the curtains of Solomon. In the tents of David, questions of war alone were treated, but in those of Solomon, questions of peace only were entertained. And thus does the Holy Spirit give us to understand that this Mother of Mercy never treats of war and vengeance against sinners, but only of peace and forgiveness for them. Mary was prefigured by the dove which returned to Noah in the ark with an olive branch in its beak, as a pledge of the peace which God granted to men. And on this idea, St. Bonaventure thus addresses our Blessed Lady. Thou art that most faithful dove. Thou wast a sure mediatress between God and the world, lost in a spiritual deluge. Thou, by presenting thyself before God, hast obtained for a lost world peace and salvation. Mary, then, was the heavenly dove which brought to a lost world the olive branch, the sign of mercy, since she in the first place gave us Jesus Christ, who is the source of mercy, and then, by his merits, obtained all graces for us. And as by Mary, says St. Epiphanius, heavenly peace was once for all given to the world, so by her are sinners still reconciled to God. Wherefore, blessed Albert the Great makes her say, I am that dove of Noah, which brought the olive branch of universal peace to the church. Again, the rainbow seen by St. John, which encircled the throne of God, was an express figure of Mary. And there was a rainbow round about the throne. It is thus explained by Cardinal Vitalis. The rainbow round the throne is Mary, who softens the judgment and sentence of God against sinners, meaning that she is always before God's tribunal, mitigating the chastisements due to sinners. St. Bernardine of Siena says that it was of this rainbow that God spoke when he promised Noah that he would place it in the clouds as a sign of peace, that on looking at it he might remember the eternal peace which he had covenanted to men. I will set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be the sign of a covenant between me and between the earth. And I shall see it, and shall remember the everlasting covenant. Mary, says the saint, is this bow of eternal peace. For as God on seeing it remembers the peace promised to the earth, so does he, at the prayers of Mary, forgive the crimes of sinners, and confirm his peace with them. For the same reason, Mary is compared to the moon in the sacred canticles, fair as the moon. For, says St. Bonaventure, as the moon is between the heavens and the earth, so does Mary continually place herself between God and sinners in order to appease our Lord in their regard, and to enlighten them to return to him. The chief office given to Mary on being placed in this world was to raise up souls that had fallen from divine grace, and to reconcile them with God. Feed thy goats, was our Lord's command to her in creating her. It is well known that sinners are understood by goats, and that as at the last judgment the just under the figure of sheep will be on the right hand, so will the goats be on the left. These goats, says the Abbot William, are entrusted to thee, O great mother, that thou mayest change them into sheep, and those who by their sins deserve to be driven to the left will by thy intercession be placed on the right. And therefore our Lord revealed to St. Catherine of Siena that he had created this his beloved daughter to be as a most sweet bait by which to catch men, and especially sinners, and draw them to God. But on this subject we must not pass over the beautiful reflection of William the Angelica on the above text of the Sacred Canticles, in which he says that God recommended her own goats to Mary, for, adds this author, the Blessed Virgin does not save all sinners, but those only who serve and honor her. So much so indeed that those who live in sin and neither honor her with any particular act of homage, nor recommend themselves to her in order to extricate themselves from sin, they certainly are not Mary's goats, but at the last judgment will, for their eternal misery, be driven to the left hand with the damned. A certain nobleman, despairing of his salvation on account of his many crimes, was encouraged by a monk to have recourse to the Most Blessed Virgin, and for this purpose to visit a devout statue of Mary in a particular church. He went there, and on seeing the image, he felt as if she invited him to cast himself at her feet and to have confidence. He hastened to prostrate and kiss her feet, when Mary extended her hand, gave it him to kiss, and on it he saw written these words, I will deliver thee from those who oppress thee. As though she had said, My son, despair not, for I will deliver thee from the sins and sorrows that weigh so heavily on thee. On reading these sweet words, the poor sinner was filled with such sorrow for his sins, and at the same time with so ardent a love for God and his tender mother, that he instantly expired at the feet of Mary. Oh, how many obstinate sinners does not this lodestone of hearts draw each day to God? For thus did she call herself one day, saying to St. Bridget, As the lodestone attracts iron, so do I attract hearts. Ye, even the most hardened hearts, to reconcile them with God. We must not suppose that such prodigies are extraordinary events. They are everyday occurrences. For my own part, I could relate many cases of the kind that have occurred in our missions, where certain sinners, with hearts harder than iron, continued so through all the other sermons, but no sooner did they hear the one on the mercies of Mary than they were filled with compunction and returned to God. St. Gregory says that the unicorn is so fierce a beast that no hunter can take it. At the voice only of a virgin crying out will this beast approach, and without resistance allow itself to be bound by her. Oh, how many sinners, more savage than the wild beasts themselves, and who fly from God, at the voice of this great Virgin Mary, approach and allow themselves to be sweetly bound to God by her. St. John Chrysostom says that another purpose for which the Blessed Virgin Mary was made the Mother of God was that she might obtain salvation for many who, on account of their wicked lives, could not be saved according to the rigor of divine justice, but might be so with the help of her sweet mercy and powerful intercession. This is confirmed by St. Anselm, who says that Mary was raised to the dignity of Mother of God rather for sinners than for the just, since Jesus Christ declares that he came to call not the just, but sinners. For this reason, the Holy Church sings, "Thou dost not abhor sinners, without whom thou wouldst never have been worthy of such a son." For the same reason, William of Paris, invoking her, says, "O Mary, thou art obliged to help sinners for all the gifts, the graces, and high honors which are comprised in the dignity of Mother of God that thou hast received. Thou owest all, so to say, to sinners, for on their account thou wast made worthy to have a God for thy son." If then Mary, concludes St. Anselm, was made Mother of God on account of sinners, how can I, however great my sins may be, despair of pardon? The Holy Church tells us in the prayer said in the Mass of the Vigil of the Assumption that the Divine Mother was taken from this world that she might interpose for us with God, with certain confidence of obtaining all. Hence, St. Justin calls Mary an arbitratrix. The Eternal Word uses Mary, he says, as an arbitratrix. An arbitrator is one into whose hands contending parties confide their whole case, and so the saint meant to say that as Jesus is the mediator with the Eternal Father, so also is Mary our mediatress with Jesus, and that he puts all the reasons that he has for pronouncing sentence against us into her hands. St. Andrew of Crete calls Mary a pledge, a security for our reconciliation with God. That is, that God goes about seeking for reconciliation with sinners by pardoning them, and in order that they might not doubt of their forgiveness, he has given them Mary as a pledge of it, and therefore he exclaims, "Hail, O peace of God with men." Wherefore St. Bonaventure encourages a sinner, saying, "If thou fearest that on account of thy faults God in his anger will be avenged, what hast thou to do? Go, have recourse to Mary, who is the hope of sinners, and if thou fearest that she may refuse to take thy part, know that she cannot do so, for God himself has imposed on her the duty of succoring the miserable." The Abbot Adam also says, "Need that sinner fear being lost to whom the mother of the judge offers herself to be mother and advocate?" And thou, O Mary, he adds, "who art the mother of mercy, wilt thou disdain to intercede with thy son, who is the judge, for another son who is a sinner? Wilt thou refuse to interpose in favor of a redeemed soul with the Redeemer who died on a cross to save sinners? No, no, thou wilt not reject him, but with all affection thou wilt pray for all who have recourse to thee, well knowing that that Lord who has appointed thy Son a mediator of peace between God and man has also made thee mediatress between the judge and the culprit. Then, O sinner, says St. Bernard, whoever thou mayest be, embedded in crime, grown old in sin, despair not, thank thy Lord, who, that he might show thee mercy, has not only given thee his Son for thy advocate, but to encourage thee to greater confidence, has provided thee with a mediatress who by her prayers obtains whatever she wills. Go then, have recourse to Mary, and thou wilt be saved." Example. Alan de la Roche and Boniface relate that in Florence there was a young woman of the name of Benedicta, who was leading a most wicked and scandalous life. Fortunately for her, as it turned out, St. Dominic went to preach in that city, and she, out of mere curiosity, went one day to hear him. God, during that sermon, touched her heart, so much so that she went and, weeping bitterly, confessed to the saint. St. Dominic thereupon absolved her, and desired her to say the rosary for her penance. From evil habits, the unfortunate creature again fell into her former mode of life. The saint heard of it, sought her out, and again induced her to confess. God, in order to make her persevere, one day showed her hell, and pointed out some who were there on her account. He then opened a book, and in it made her read the frightful catalogue of her sins. The sinner was horrified at such a sight, and full of confidence, begged that Mary would assist her. And she understood that this good mother had already obtained from God time for her to weep over so many crimes. After the vision, Benedicta led a good life, but always seeing before her eyes that terrible catalogue, she one day began to implore her comfortress in the following terms. "My mother," said she, "it is true that for my crimes I ought now to be in the lowest abyss of hell. But since thou, by obtaining me time to repent, hast delivered me from it, I ask thee this one favor more, O most compassionate lady, that my sins may be cancelled from the book, and I will never cease all the same to weep for them." At this prayer, Mary appeared to her and told her that, to obtain what she desired, she must always remember her sins and the mercy that God had shown her, and besides that she should often recall to her mind the sufferings which her divine Son had endured for her love, and consider how many were lost for less sins than she had committed, and at the same time revealed to her that on that day a child only 8 years of age would go to hell for one mortal sin. Benedicta obeyed our Blessed Lady faithfully, and behold, one day Jesus Christ appeared to her, and showing her the book, said, "See, the book is blank. Thy sins are cancelled. Now write acts of love and virtue in their stead." Doing this, Benedicta led a holy life and died the death of a saint. Prayer. O my most sweet Lady, since thy office is, as William of Paris says, that of mediatress between God and sinners, I will address thee in the words of St. Thomas of Villanova. Fulfill thy office in my behalf, O tender advocate. Do thy work. Say not that my cause is too difficult to gain, for I know, and all tell me so, that every cause, no matter how desperate, if undertaken by thee, is never and never will be lost. And will mine be lost? Ah, no, this I cannot fear. The only thing that I might fear is, that on seeing the multitude of my sins, thou mightest not undertake my defense. But on seeing thy immense mercy, and the very great desire of thy most sweet heart to help the most abandoned sinners, even this I cannot fear. And who was ever lost that had recourse to thee? Therefore I invoke thy aid, O my great advocate, my refuge, my hope, my Mother Mary. To thy hands do I entrust the cause of my eternal salvation. To thee do I commit my soul. It was lost, but thou hast to save it. I will always thank our Lord for having given me this great confidence in thee, and which, notwithstanding my unworthiness, I feel is an assurance of salvation. I have but one fear to afflict me, O beloved Queen, and that is that I may one day by my own negligence lose this confidence in thee. And therefore I implore thee, O Mary, by the love thou bearest to Jesus, thyself to preserve and increase in me more and more this sweet confidence in thy intercession, by which I hope most certainly to recover the divine friendship, that I have hitherto so madly despised and lost. And having recovered it, I hope, through thee, to preserve it. And preserving it by the same means, I hope at length to thank thee for it in heaven, and there to sing God's mercies, and thine for all eternity. Amen. This is my hope. Thus may it be, thus it will be. All right, and that's where we'll stop with our readings for today. I like this concept of our Blessed Mother as peacemaker. There are two ways I kind of think about it. You have Our Lady as peacemaker for the individual soul and for the souls of us all. We can consider what Our Lady spoke of in her apparitions at Fatima, how she came to tell us, among other things, that we must cease offending God and we must amend our lives, but Our Lady was trying to show us how we can obtain peace for our world, to help us avoid further offending our Lord and avoid further punishment for our sins and offenses against Him. Our Lady, the Queen of Peace, is the one we turn to daily to obtain peace for our sinful world. But while Our Lady has, like she did in Fatima, tried to help us obtain peace for our world in general, Our Lady is constantly trying to help us obtain peace in each of our individual souls, to lead us to repentance and bring us back into the grace of God, and preserve us in His grace. So many people nowadays are looking for peace in temporal things, and unfortunately, we see so many looking for it in sinful things. But our Blessed Mother is a faithful mother, and she knows what brings us true peace, and that is union with God, God's grace, His friendship. Even in the midst of many great trials, as long as we have God, we have everything we need. Like the very beginning of today's reading mentions, St. Alphonsus says, "The grace of God is the greatest and the most desirable of treasures for every soul." And how true that is, because when we consider what this life here on earth truly is, our time to know and love and serve God faithfully to save our souls and earn the rewards of eternal life. Well, we know how the world neglects that and only focuses on this life. But we know our mission here is to save our souls and those of our families. So obviously, yes, God's grace is absolutely necessary for us to complete this mission. No matter what we may possess, whether it's money, fame, property, if we don't have the grace of God, none of it matters in the light of eternity. Of course we know these things, but tying that back into the topic of Our Lady as peacemaker, she it is who is trying to obtain for us what we truly need and help us acquire true peace that is found in God alone. She looks at our individual needs, the graces we specifically need, and she obtains them for us. And in today's world, we have to be extra strong in removing distractions and avoiding sin and ultimately cooperating with the graces we receive. You know, watch for the opportunities to advance in virtue and give all our effort to detach from this world and draw closer to God. But we can't waste time. We can't let up. Our Lady sees the dangers and potential dangers our souls are constantly in and are faced with, and she is there for us, and God has given us Our Lady to obtain us the graces we need to persevere and save our souls. So if we know our mission is to save our soul, and that our focus should be on making it to heaven, why waste time with things of the world? Why put off removing the obstacles in our way, our sins and attachments? Especially when we consider how much we offend our Lord by our sins, and how much we displease Him by our inordinate attachments to things of this world. We know and acknowledge our Lord is worthy of all praise and all love. Tomorrow truly isn't promised, we know. So we have right now, today, to make those decisions and make those sacrifices, and strive after a closer union with God, with the help of Our Lady's intercession. We read in the Glories of Mary how powerful and loving Our Lady is. She will help us overcome the difficulties we are faced with. She will help us make those changes we need to make, and she'll help us to bear our crosses for our Lord and in union with Him. And maybe we are struggling with a lack of desire to push forward and continue the practice of virtue. Well, Our Lady can help us overcome that too. Turn to her. Let her know your troubles and anxieties. Ask for the grace you need. Pray. I'm sure we miss out on a lot of graces because we don't ask for them. So ask for them, and be confident in Our Lady's intercession that she will obtain them. So we're given by God this wonderful gift in Our Lady to be our peacemaker between Him and us. And what a peacemaker she is. So even though we're faced with many difficulties in this life, and at times we may feel like we're alone, well, we know we're not alone. We have our Lord and Our Lady, and we just need to ask for their help and be ready to do our part. So as we continue to go through this Advent season, and as the weeks draw closer to Christmas Day, we can call upon Our Lady with great confidence to help us continue to push forward and have a good close to this Advent season and really carry us through the Christmas season, through the new calendar year, and all throughout our lives, leading a more faithful life for our Lord with the help of Our Lady's intercession. Well, I think this is a good place for us to go to our quote for today. And for today's episode, I wanted to use the words of Our Lady of Guadalupe in her apparitions to Juan Diego. Of course, the words we all think of when we hear about Our Lady of Guadalupe. But I think these words of our Blessed Mother are so important to remember as we go through the trials and difficulties of this life, and to help us remember to have great confidence, great hope in Our Lady, who is there watching out for us and is guiding us throughout our journey and throughout the hardships that we face. And a special thanks to Lisa Davis, who put together the Feast Day Quick Take of Our Lady of Guadalupe so beautifully. That's where I'm pulling this quote from today. So I repeat some of the words that Our Lady said to Juan Diego. Am I not here, who is your mother? Are you not under my protection? Am I not your health? Are you not happily within my fold? What else do you wish? Do not grieve nor be disturbed by anything. Of course, Our Lady said much more to Juan Diego, even at that time when she said those words that I just read. And although Our Lady spoke those words to Juan Diego, she says those same words to us as we go through the trials of this life. Our Lady is always there. She's watching over us each step of the way, so we shouldn't be disturbed by anything. Well, I think this is a good place for us to say our own prayer to Our Lady. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. St. Alphonsus Liguori, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I thank you all for listening to today's episode of the Children of Our Lady podcast, brought to you by the Catholic Family Podcast. God bless you all, and Mary keep you.